a witness. That is our thought to share with you today. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, look, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1. The physician Luke penned the book of Acts. And Lord willing, today for the next few moments, we want to be able to look at the apostolic commission that is found in chapter 1 of the book of Acts in verses 8 and verse number 9. Very familiar scripture, spoken of, preached from, taught from quite often. Even when you depart the doors of this church, if you look up above the doors, you will see Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. You might say, well, what is so significant about the apostolic commission? It is very important, dear friends, because it has to do with something that all blood-bought believers have, and that is a witness. A witness. And today, dear friends, we challenge you that if you're not exercising your witness, you're not being all that you can be for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we have not just been asked to share our witness, but we've been commanded by God to convey the good news of the gospel before a lost, dying, and very needful world. In the book of Acts, in verses 8 and 9 of chapter number 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Oh, dear friends, when the Lord led us to this thought, the Lord began to remind us on how important that it is, our witness to the world that's around us. When you look at the word witness and you look at it in the Greek, it says Marcus, which means something that is very significant. The word Marcus, Martus in the Greek, has to do with importance. It has to do with something amazing. And I tell you today, the witness that we have as blood-bought believers far exceeds just being able to see something and know something. Dear friends, our witness is important. Our witness is amazing. Our witness is something that transforms lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is when you look at the book of Acts and you go there to verses 8 and 9 of chapter number 1, you will see there that Jesus Christ is declaring for us to share our witness. You say, Brother Lynn, why is my witness so important? Dear friends, your witness and my witness and the witness of God's children has to do with life. That's what our witness is about, conveying the good news, which is life, life, eternal life. What you have to give can be the greatest gift that anyone will ever receive. You say, Brother Lynn, I'm not much. Oh, praise be to God. If you know Jesus Christ, praise God, you're everything. I began to look at this beautiful word, and the Lord began to speak as only He can. For the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 36, in verse number 9, the psalmist David writes, for with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Oh, dear
friends, what Jesus is saying is that your witness can lead to eternal life. David is speaking about the light. When your witness is going out, your light is shining for the glory of God. And it is God's will that your light shine brightly in the day and time in which it is that we live. I tell you today, dear friends, if you don't convey your witness and share your testimony, you may be able to know and realize that you are maybe, without a doubt, the only Bible that this world will ever see. If they don't hear from you, I tell you today, they may not hear it at all. I believe that we have a tremendous responsibility to convey our witness, to go and to do and to believe and to trust. That's why that James says that we're to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I tell you, dear friends, we're to do, we're to hear, we're to go and to proclaim, because I believe without a shadow of doubt that the dying time, the time of the Lord is at hand. Don't put off to do tomorrow. Dear friends, what needs to be done today? When David penned this word there in Psalms 36, notice what he said: "For with thee is the fountain of life." Oh, dear friends, what indwells you is life, eternal life. And that life was given to you by Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. And it was His desire. It's His desire for us today to have that witness and our testimony so that other people can obtain life. People says, "I'm doing well. I'm doing fine." There's a strong delusion that's sweeping this land, because many today think that everything is in place because of job, because of health, because of prosperity. I tell you today, on the authority of God's living, breathing in that word, if you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, I tell you today, you have nothing. But praise be to God, if you have Him, you have everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in this apostolic commission, He conveyed this word to those in the midst, that they are to take the good news, the gospel, the word of life, there to the highways and the byways of the world. You say, "Brother Lynn, I may not can go to Africa." Well, I can tell you, dear friends, Brother Joe did, and you went through your support. You went through your prayers, and I know on the authority of God's word, He blessed in a tremendous way. Oh, dear friends, you're here today. If you're saved and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were saved because somebody witnessed to you. I'm thankful for those witnesses. I'm thankful for those willing to share. I'm thankful for those who were willing to go and willing to do. Because if they hadn't, I'd been the yoke of sin in the wasteland of despair. But praise be to God, through and by the word of life, praise His name, I'm saved today. Saved. Saved. I have hope. I have hope. Do you have hope? Do you have a prayer, a desire that those around you have hope? I do. Oh, I do. I thought about David. I did. I thought about him in the Psalms. I thought him in Psalms 36. I thought so much about this. And it went so good with Jesus' words to those listeners in Acts 1, 8 and 9. Where He says, "For with thee is the foundation of life. In thy light shall we see light." You know something? I thought about that. I was back in her study, and we was looking over things and seeking the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to our heart, reminding us of something that we've all been a part of. Have you ever been going somewhere, and you've driven by someone's house, and you've thought about stopping by, and you look, and you see their light on, and you'll say, hey, their lights are on, they're home. I tell you today, that's the way that it is for a blood-bought believer. When your light is shining brightly for Jesus Christ, the world around us knows we're home. 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 Living like I'm home. Living like a man, a woman, and boy and girl are to live. To have Jesus Christ as first and foremost in their life. And how that desire that their life will shine brightly before the world that's around them. I want people to know I serve a risen Lord. I want people to know that I love Jesus. But more importantly, I want them to know that Jesus loves them. And the way they can know is by our witness. By our witness. You know something? In all our years of preaching and being a part of the schools, I've learned something. I have. I've learned something. It ain't about the theological theories. It's not about the doctrine, but it comes right down to the love of Jesus. Some of those young people just want to be loved. They want to know that somebody loves them and cares for them. When you talk about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Oh, that speaks volumes because those children know that they're loved. And the one that loves them has a desire for them to have a life, to have roaring, striving, vibrant life. I tell you today, dear friends, if you don't have Jesus Christ as the light of your life, you're dead. People says, no, I'm not dead. My heart's got blood flowing through my veins. I'm here to tell you today, friends, if you don't have the light of life in your heart, rest assured this, you're dead. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus, as he would ascend to the right hand of God the Father, he, in this commission to those that would follow in faith believing, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You say, Brother Lynn, I can't do it. My might, my will, my strength can't do it. No, you can't do it, and I can't do it. But praise be to God, the Holy Ghost can. The Lord can. The Lord, Jesus, was not putting more on these apostles than they could do. What he asked them was to be willing, put their faith and their trust in him and praise his name. He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. A witness. A witness. A witness. You know, I was told by a gentleman not too long ago, said, I don't really know how you work a full-time secular job and you pastor by vocation, but you pastor like full-time. And why don't you just back off and try to just do your secular job a couple of days a week? I said, well, I see it as a springboard for ministry. I see it as an opportunity to witness and to share Jesus. Because I say that to say this, dear friends, I believe that the Lord can use us wherever we go, whether we're in our own Jerusalem, or whether we're in Samaria, or whether we're at the outermost part. I believe, dear friend, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has a desire to use us in a tremendous way in the world that's around us. I believe that. I believe that. Because you see, there's people that goes far and wide to share the good news. I was in Fentress County yesterday, and I seen the Gideons there giving out Bibles. I watched them just for a little while. They was giving out them little red testaments. And I seen an old gentleman there. They'd give him one, and he just stood by himself reading it. He was just standing there reading it. And his wife came by and got him, and he put that little testament in his pocket, and he walked off. And I could see by the expression on his face, it made an impact. Oh, what a witness does. What does your witness convey? It conveys life. It conveys living. It conveys thriving for the glory of God. That's why, dear friend, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said these words in John chapter 10 and verse number 10 in his discourse of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Listen to what our Lord says. He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I tell you today, the abundant life comes from having Jesus Christ as Lord of your life.
That witness. Am I perfect? No. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I fail and come short of the glory of God each and every day. Every day. Some days my witness is pretty strong, kind of vital. Some days it's kind of weak and sort of wondering. But I do know, come hell or high water, who that it is that I belong to, and who that it is that I serve, and that I have today what I have through by the witnesses of God-fearing people who share Jesus Christ with me.
There's people out there. They're in need. In need of what? In need of life. 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 True life. Real life. Vibrant life. Life that sustains. Life that is eternal. Not temporal. Like what we look at in a secular fashion. Your witness is much more than someone in a courtroom saying, "Oh, I seen him," or "I seen her do this or that." No, dear friend, your witness, the martyrs that you have, your witness is amazing. Your witness is important. You have something that can't be classified. It can't be identified. It is something great. It is something wonderful. It is life-giving. That's what you have. That's what you have. And as I thought about the scriptures, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts in chapter number 2 that when Jesus gave that apostolic commission and those recipients of this word departed and Jesus ascended, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, it did not end there. Just as it don't end today when you depart this house of prayer. Your witness, your testimony, your zeal for worship and sharing the good news is to thrive. When Jesus gave these wonderful words, the birth of the church had just begun. The infancy of the church at Jerusalem
was just falling into place on the foundational stones of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Pine Hill Baptist Church is a descendant from this church that is speaking of here in Acts chapter 2. The church of Jerusalem, the mother church that we're all a part of. The Bible tells us that when they continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, what that is saying is that when Jesus gave that apostolic commission, they departed to their places of worship. They began to gather and they began to pray. They began to witness and they began to fellowship and they began to worship. And through their efforts, the Bible says there in Acts chapter number 2 in verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Through their witness, people were saved. Through their witness, lives were changed. You say, would you ever see it in the day and time in which it is that we live? Listen, through and by people's prayers, through and by people's willingness, through and by people's testimonies, I'm a product of it today. I don't know where I'd be if people hadn't prayed for me. I don't know where I would be if the Lord had not sent people on my behalf to come and share the good news with me. Where will these out here be if we are not obedient to what the Holy Spirit would have us to do? You see, dear friends, why this is so important. No longer than we've been sharing today, there have been people that have died and they've lifted their eyes in the devil's hell. How many? I don't know. But I do know this, that if we're willing to go and that we're willing to do, God can use it in a tremendous way in the world that is around us. People says, well, will they all get saved? Doubtful. Will all their lives changed? Doubtful. But listen, if just one changes through your witness and your testimony, that's worth it all. Witness. You say, well, what? How significant is that? I tell you how significant that it is. If Brother Scott back there was the only saved, potentially saved man on the planet, Jesus would have come for him. It was just Terrell and him that got saved. Jesus would have come. He would have paid that price for those two. But praise be to God. He didn't come just to pay the price for two. He came to pay the price for all. And you and I are a part of that. You and I are a part of that. You and I today are the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the mouth of Jesus Christ. And you that have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity indwells you today to enhance, to stir, to motivate your witness in our world today. Did you know something? God is still in the saving business. You know, the Lord will save you today. You say, well, I ain't have much of a witness in this message. Well, listen, if you believe that Jesus Christ lived, died, and crucified, rose on that third and appointed day, real lies and know that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, you can be saved today. That's how simple it is. Jesus didn't give them something that they couldn't do. Jesus gave them something that all of us can do. Our witness. Our witness. You know, I have a lot of people tell me, well, you know, Brother Lynn, I'm not too Bible read. Well, dear friends, I'm not either. He said, well, I just don't know what to say. I told a young man not too awful long ago, you live your life as the Lord would have you to live it. You walk that walk God would have you to walk. And it'll make a difference on your workplace, at your school. I want people to see that light on, don't you? I want people to see that light on. You know, you can buy different wattage bulbs. You can buy 25, a 40-watt, 100-watt. I want a bright light. I want a bright light. This is what, my goodness, that little man, his light's so bright, it about blinds you. I want a bright light. I don't want a veiled light. I don't want a suppressed light. I want a glorious light that reflects my witness for Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet.